Well, good morning. Welcome to a dry inside Grace Point Church. Days like today and the day before and tomorrow, all day today, I think, reminded me, you know, how Noah might have felt. I mean, he was on top of the water in the boat, but it was raining. And he didn't have to ask anybody, is it going to rain tomorrow? It was raining, and there he was, part of his family. And anyhow, we're glad that you took time to come out to be with us this morning to worship together. I'm going to give you a chance to say hello to folks next to you, behind you, in front of you, across the aisle from you. So stand up, if you will, and welcome one another to Grace Point Church. We're very glad that you are here today. A couple of things I want to say before we pray and get started in our other worship time. I hope you received a bulletin. If you look in there now, see if you have an outline for my message. I think some of the bulletins missed it. And I know you don't want to listen to me preach. You want to be part of the active part of the. If you need one, we've got Jay back here to be glad to give some of those outlines out. For now, they're free. 5 minutes, they're $5. In 10 minutes, they're $100. You want my sermon notes? $1,000. All right, so take care of that. Also want to draw your attention inside of your bulletin. I hope you do have a Connect card. We use this for a variety of reasons. One, if you're with us and haven't been here before, it's been a long time. If you would like to update your information on the front, please do so. We're not going to come after you if you're one of our guests. We just want to know that you were here. On the back, you can use this as a way to ask the pastors to pray for you in a special way. We put your you put your prayer request here. The pastors get that information, and we're more than glad to get that from you. You can give this or on the way during our fellowship time or afterwards. There are boxes around the back. By each door, there's a Grace Point box where you can put your offering, and you can put this in there, and that's how we'll get that information from you. Also, it is Operation Christmas Child time. Franklin Graham's been doing this ministry for decades, and it's a time where we get a chance to give some gifts that literally go around the world to children who otherwise would not get those type of Christmas gifts. So there are boxes lined up here in the aisle. I think Luria told me we had about 47 boxes left. If you haven't taken your box or boxes or multiple boxes, you can take the whole row if you want. Please take that, fill it in, fill it out. Matter of fact, somebody was really after it because we just brought these out last week and they already brought them back. So congratulations to you. But go ahead and get your boxes, fill them out. If you just can't or don't want to do it that way, you can just write a check to the church, put on there OCC, and someone else will take that money and use it to fill your box. Okay? Good enough? I think that's all. So let's pray together as we go on with our worship time. Father, thank you for giving us this day to be here to worship you. We realize, Father, worship comes from our heart to you, and we can worship you any day, any place, any time. But there's something special, God, when you draw your people together collectively and give us a time of worship together, united and focusing on you, your goodness, your grace, your mercy, the greatest gift you gave us, your Son, Jesus Christ. So bless our time of worship. Guide us through it. Prepare our hearts and minds, not only to receive what you have for us, but to give back to you during this time of worship. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Where the shoebox you pack is going to go. But it's going to change a life. Guaranteed. So pick up your shoeboxes today, take them home, pack them up, bring them back, and God is going to bless incredibly. Good enough? Very good. Very good. I'm in a series of messages called Growing Grace. Today I'm going to be talking about building a life of service. Now, some might say the secret of greatness in connections and is influence and connections on people. For instance, if you went to Wall Street and asked people there, what's the secret of greatness? They would say, well, a lot of finances, big clout, a big portfolio. But God says, in his definition, it's very different. God says none of those kind of things are going to last. You're not going to remember them forever. God says what is going to last is service. God indicates that the secret of a great life is service, serving God and serving others. And you're never going to be great until you learn how to serve God and how to serve people around you. Now, I hope you have your outlines. Take them out. Let's look at this together. Look at this verse in Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. It says, whoever wants to become great must be a servant of others. Circle the word great and then circle the word servant. If you want to be great, then you need to become a servant. We all know that great teachers serve their students. We know that great salespeople serve their customers. We know that the key to being a great leader is to serve people who follow you. God says the way to up is down. The more you serve others, the greater you become. If I were to ask you what two words best define the Christian life, what summarizes all of what Christianity is in two words, I would pick two words, these two words, give and serve. That's what Jesus did. Matter of fact, look at these verses here. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Jesus said, for even I didn't come to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many. Circle those words, serve, and then circle the word give. He said, serve others and give my life for others. That summarizes the Christian life. Unless I learn how to serve others and unless I learn how to give my life away, I'll never become all of who Jesus wants me to become. I may claim to be a Christian. I may have some good doctrine in my mind. But we don't become true believers until we're living out the same thing Jesus lived out and until we follow his commandment to do so. Learning to serve, learning to give. Now, if I want to clarify the reasons why the Bible says that we should give your life in service to God and to other people, why is that? Why should it be a number one priority over your career, over your hobbies, over everything in your life? God says the top priority in your life should be loving God. And you show that love by serving others and by giving. I want to give you this morning 9 reasons why. Now, some of you just passed out. Because my sermons are 3 points, sometimes 4 or 5 max. You're getting 9. So sharpen your pencil. All right? Here we go. 9 reasons why we should serve. Number 1, I was created for service. God made me for that purpose. I was designed to serve. Look at Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God designed everything on this earth for a purpose. Human beings are here to serve, to help one another. God says, I created you for ministry, and I created you for service. Years and years ago, I remember going out to my shed looking for a flashlight. Anybody here ever lose a flashlight? I found my flashlight way deep down. I don't know when the last time I touched that thing was. I took it out and I tried to turn it on and it wouldn't come on. And so I unscrewed it and I looked down in there and I saw a battery that was all corroded. It had been in there for so long, unused. It literally was corroded. It wouldn't work any longer. Folks, batteries were meant to be used, not to sit around and become corroded. As Christians, we are made to do something, not just to sit around and enjoy the goodness of God. We were made to serve God and to serve others. I was created for service. Number 2, I was saved for service. 2 Timothy 1:9. It is God who saved us, look, and chose us for his holy work. Underline the word work. What is holy work? The biblical word for holy work is the word ministry. Ministry is another word for service. Anytime in the Bible you see ministry or service, it's the same word. The Bible says you were saved to serve. Have you ever thought why, the minute we become a Christian, why doesn't God just take us up to heaven? We become saved, boom, we're in heaven. Why not? Why doesn't he do that? Why does God leave us here? Because he has something for us to do down here. Part of that involves your ministry, your service. I was watching a talk show a long time ago, and they had some bodybuilders on there. And one guy was all buffed up, kind of like, in my head, kind of like me. And in Libby's dreams, kind of like me. And the host of the show went over to him and said, hey, I'll tell you what, answer this question for me. What are those muscles for? And the guy just positioned himself and did another pose. The talk show said, no, that's great, I understand, but what are those muscles for? And he did another pose. And the guy realized he's got muscle but doesn't use them for anything. Let me ask folks, why do you build your spiritual muscle? Why do you read the word? Why do you come to worship? Why are you part of a small group? Why do you build your spiritual muscle so you can just say one day, look at the spiritual muscle I have? No. God wants you to use that for his service. Serving him, serving others. He don't want you to sit back and say, well, look at my Bible biceps. He wants you to serve him. We'll actually never become really mature Christians until we start ministering, until we start serving God and others. Number three, I have been called by God to service. I've been called by God to service. I'm not only created for service, I am saved for service. And I'm called by God for service. This phrase, God's call, I used to think it was some special kind of something for special people like missionaries or priests who were called by God, maybe pastors who had the call, like it was something special. Listen to me, folks. The Bible says every Christian is called. Every one of God's children are called by God. Look what Paul said in Galatians 1:15. God, in his grace, chose me even before I was born and called me to serve him. Folks, the Bible says that the call to salvation and the call to service are identical. The moment you signed up with God, you said yes to God. God, I want to go to heaven. I want you to forgive my sins. I accept Jesus as my Savior. The moment you said that, you also said, I'm willing, God, to serve you for the rest of my life. It's indistinguishable. If you're a Christian, you're called to serve. Say, Kevin, I don't know what to do with that. I don't know. That's fine. We'll help you work it out. But you are a Christian of God. You are his child. You are called to serve. Every Christian is called to serve. Every member of God's family is a minister. You, as a child of God, are a minister. This idea that John, Jason, and I up here, and we think we're ministers, but not because we're up here doing what we do. We're ministers for the same reason you are, and that's because by God's grace, we've been saved. And when that happens for every believer, you are a minister. Not everybody is a pastor, but every Christian is a minister. What is a minister? A minister is a servant. Somebody who serves. And anytime you use your abilities to help people in the name of Jesus, you are ministering to them. You are serving them. You are serving God by serving others. Every Christian is called to serve. Number four, I've been gifted for service. God didn't just give you your talents just to spend on yourself. He gave you abilities, gifts to help other people. 1 Peter 4:10, the Bible says this, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them for what reason? To help each other. That's called service. If you've given your life to Christ, the Bible says God has given you abilities so you can use them to help other people. Each of us has received a gift or gifts to do that very thing, because we can't do it all ourselves as one person. We need other people who are gifted to help us serve. We need to be that person who are gifted to help someone else serve. Any of you recognize any of these songs? Crocodile Rock, Tiny Dancer, Daniel, Candle in the Wind, Rocket Man. Who am I talking about? No, it's Sir Elton John. Sir Elton John. Did you realize that Elton John did not write the words to his songs? He did not. His longtime friend, Bernie Taupin, was the lyricist for Elton's songs. Bernie would write the words, send them over to Elton. Elton would write the music. What not one of them could do alone, together, they did incredibly well. I can't do everything to serve God in His kingdom. Neither can you. But you know why that's all right? Because God puts other people up around us. And sometimes we're the one He puts next to somebody who doesn't have all those gifts, but you can use your gifts. And that's how we serve. We serve others together. Because we're gifted in different ways, but we're gifted for service. Number five, my church family needs my service. My church family needs my service. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 12:27. All of you together are one body of Christ, and each of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Underline that word, necessary. You are necessary in God's kingdom for service. That word necessary, it says you are absolutely necessary. You are crucial, you are needed, you are required, you are all important, you are indispensable, you are a must-have in God's kingdom to do His work. You said, yes, you are. Yes, you are. And God needs you. And we need you to do your part. I know some Christians said, well, I've done this my whole life. Time for me to just sit back and John, I can just coast on into heaven. No. No. We need you. Think about it this way. What happens in your life one day if one of your body parts says, I don't want to work anymore? You get sick, maybe even badly sick. Folks, it works that way with Christians in the body of Christ. If you're not functioning, the body can't function the way it should, and it gets sick. What if you got a phone call one day from your liver? Kevin, I just want to take some time off. I've been doing this a long time. And I, you know what? I just need a break. I think I'm going to go off for about 6 months, and we'll see how things are. Liver says, you know, I've been working so hard so long, I just need to be fed. I need to just step back, let some other folks in. I just want to be fed for a while. What if your heart called or your gallbladder or your spleen and they said, I just don't feel like functioning now. I need some time on my own. I've been doing this for 10, 20. I've been doing this for 60 years. And now I just want to step back. You'd say, uh-uh. You stay there. You keep working. This body needs you. That's how it is in the body of Christ. I've been pastoring way too many years, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard believers say, I just need to stop. I just need to take time out. Listen, I'm all for taking a little break, a little vacation, but you don't just quit the body of Christ and say, I'm not serving anymore. I'm just along for the ride. You are needed in the body of Christ. And if this is your church, this is your church of choosing, you need to find out how you can get plugged in, what you can do here, because this body needs you. The strength of Grace Point Church is not its paid staff. Do you hear me? The strength of this church is not your staff. The strength of this church is you recognizing what God wants you to do to be a part of this church, to reach people for Jesus, and getting involved. When that happens, we'll be riding the wave. Did you ever ride a wave? Anybody here surf? Two? I don't like to surf. I don't even know how to surf. But I do like to boogie board. And I just know, when you go down to the beach and you get the right wave and you boogie board or you surf, it's just tremendous. Get involved in what God wants you to get involved in and just watch, just ride the wave of what God is doing. Number six, serving others is the way to serve God. We serve God by serving others. Colossians 3, Paul said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Jesus said, whatever you do for others, you're doing for me. Even a cup of cold water given in my name, it's like you've done it for me. We're not just serving others, folks. We are serving God by serving others. Anytime you help someone, you are serving God. It's like you're doing it to Jesus Himself. Remember those scriptures where Jesus said, if people come and they're hungry and they're thirsty or they're in jail, we need to take care of them. And Jesus said, when you do that, when you feed the hungry, when you give water to the thirsty, when you visit the people, when you do that, listen to what he said. You've done it unto him. I remember we were, I guess if Libby was home and I was coming home and by Food Lion, I live on John's Island where Maybank and River meet together. There's a Food Lion right there. And I remember going up the road ready to go home, and I saw a gentleman in the entryway or exitway onto River Road with a big bag of groceries. It was an older man, thin. And I thought, man, I'd love to help that guy. You know, I used to pick up hitchhikers a lot I lived in Baltimore. I went to school down in Virginia and then in Tennessee. And I had a Volkswagen. I used to pick up hitchhikers because back then you could. And I always felt like, get them in my car, 65 miles an hour, they ain't leaving. I had a chance to tell them my story, tell them about God, tell them about Jesus. Let me off here. No, you said you're going here. You're stuck. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to pick this man up. And I picked him up, put him in the car. He told me where he lived, turned around, went down River Road. I don't even know where I went after that. Turned off right somewhere, went down a long, long, long dirt road. And I thought, uh-oh. I've seen movies. Nothing spectacular happened. We talked. Nice man. Took him to his house, to his mobile home, made sure he got out. He walked up to the door and went in. And then I realized that little itty-bitty good work, it was like having Jesus in my car. As Jesus said, when you do it to one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. You want to serve Jesus? Find someone today you can serve. Find someone tomorrow who you can serve. You want to serve God? Find someone the next day who you can serve. Number 7. I serve because I owe everything to Jesus. I owe everything to Christ. Romans 12:1, Paul said, because of God's great mercy to us, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service. This verse says, because of God's great mercy to us, we should offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to other people, dedicated to God's service. Folks, Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for me and for you. And even if he did nothing else for us, we owe him our lives. Because of the good work he did for us. Back in 1969, the Hollies released the song, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. Y'all remember that song? The backstory of this song goes back to 1918, when a boy named Howard Loomis was abandoned by his mother at Father Flanagan's home for boys. And Howard had polio. He wore heavy leg braces, and it was very difficult for him to walk. And so several of the home's boys would carry Howard up and down the stairs, and Father Flanagan asked Reuben Granger if carrying Howard was hard. And Reuben replied, he ain't heavy, Father. He's my brother. Most of us have probably needed to be carried by someone at some point in time. And aren't you glad that they were there for you when you needed someone? Others around us need someone to help them. Because we're human, we stumble. And we need folks to help build us back up. Folks, we should never serve God only out of a sense of duty. We shouldn't serve God out of a sense of fear. We don't serve God out of some kind of guilt. We don't serve God because we're angry and we want that anger to subside. We serve God out of gratitude for who he is and what he's done for us. He saved us. We're going to live forever in eternity with God because he's gracious to us. All of our sins are forgiven. All of them. The ones I'm going to commit tomorrow are already forgiven. He gives us power right now in the presence to serve him and to love him and to serve others. And because of that, I want to serve him out of gratitude for who he is to me. Number 8. We serve because service makes life meaningful. Mark said in his gospel, Mark 8:35, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. Folks, you're going to give your life away for something. Some people give their life away for a career, at the end of which they get a gold watch. Was that worth it? Come on. Some people give their life away to get a big check every month, every other week, so they can have a lot of money in their account. Some people give their life away to get some kind of thrill or some kind of pleasure out of life, or to obtain some status or recognition. You're going to give your life away for something. Everybody does. The question is, are you going to give your life away for the right thing? How much is what you're living for going to matter in all eternity? Everybody I know is trying to figure out how to live longer. I want to live a little bit longer. The older I get, I understand that. But that's not the real issue. It's not how long you live that matters. It's how you live that matters. It's not the duration of your life. It's the donation of your life. If you're not going to use your life in service, why should God even let you have next week? He doesn't owe us a single thing, a single minute here on earth. He doesn't owe that to us. But he wants us to love him and to serve him out of that love. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, keep busy in your work for the Lord, since you know that nothing you do in the Lord's service is ever without value. Anytime you serve God in any way, it has value to it. Nothing you do in God's work is ever done in vain. And last, number 9. Didn't think we'd get there, did you? Here we go, number 9. I'm going to serve God because I will be rewarded for eternity. Now, I'm going to say, folks, in all honesty, just because of what God has done for us, he's forgiven us and all that, we should serve him, period, for that. But in addition, just to our salvation, everything gives us, look, we're going to be rewarded. Are you serious? John 12:26, Jesus said, my Father will honor anyone who serves me. Jesus says, my Father's going to honor anyone who serves him. God is planning a party in heaven for eternity. It's going to last forever. And the rewards are going to come as we serve him down here on earth. One of the rewards we're going to get in heaven for our service down here on earth is that we're going to be trusted with greater responsibility. Matthew 25:23, look what it says. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. One of the questions we need to ask ourselves is, what are we going to do about that? In light of knowing you were made for something, you were saved for what God wants us to be saved for, to love him and to serve him. We were gifted to do the service he's called us to do. What are we going to do about that? Are we going to be a hearer of God's word only, or are we going to be a doer, somebody who takes action based on what God's response says to us? Couple of verses to end with regarding my response. Psalm 86:11. Teach me to serve you with complete devotion. And as God's teaching us to serve him with complete devotion, Psalm 100:2, then serve the Lord with gladness. What does this have to do with the series I'm talking about, Growing Grace? As we grow in God, in our walk with Him, as we build a life of service individually and as a church, we're going to have the ability then to bring so many more people into God's family. And if they choose, then into this particular church. So we're just trying to spruce up. I talked to this about this a week or two ago. If you're driving down the road and you see a store that looks wonderful and pristine and you see one that's literally falling apart, you're probably going to turn in here first. Now, this church isn't falling apart, but it could use a little facelift, right? Inside, outside, there's no doubt. It's been here a long time. And the Calvary people who were here, who got it founded, did a wonderful work. No doubt about it, period. But it's time to do some upgrading. It'll be a whole lot easier to invite people to church when they can come to a place that at least catches their attention. I understand, folks, Christians are going to come and go out of the church. I get that. I'm talking about lost people. People who don't even know who God is. People who don't go to church. People who might be angry at God. I want the lost person to come in here and feel comfortable coming in here so they can hear about the good news that most of us already know about. Did you get this in your bulletin? Look there and see. Did y'all get this? This is pretty good. It turned out good, Sandy. It turned out really good. I'm impressed. I don't know with what, but it just looks good. The color, whatever color that is, looks good. Notice what it says under the ruler. Grace Points Renovation and Church Growth Initiative. You want to help our church grow? You want to help God's kingdom grow? Then we're asking you to be committed to growing grace. Pray, first and foremost, pray. And we're asking you to give. Did you know when we ask people around, business people and builders and painters, do you know they won't do this for free? Did you know that? They're not going to rebuild our stage. They want money. So let's give them some. First of all, I want you to pray about what God wants you to give. We're asking you to give, or what you can give, over a two-year period. Now, if you're our guest this morning, if you're not one of our home folks, I'm not talking to you. You want to help, that's fine, but I'm talking to our folks. We need you to pray and say, okay, here's what I can give over 2 years. It may be $1,000, maybe $10,000, maybe $75,000, because that's how God has gifted you. You give back according to how God has gifted you. And you might want to give that monthly or weekly over the course of 2 years. If you just want to give it all at once, we're not going to deny that. But we want you to pray and we want you to give. This goes above and beyond your regular tithes and offerings that you're already giving. You can't stop that. You can't take from that and put to this. We still need to operate as a church. So if you are one of our members, one of our regular attenders here, you consider this your church, we want you to prayerfully consider that. And we do it by building a life of service individually and collectively as a church. All right? Point 9 points, 11:29. Not bad. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your goodness to us. Above and beyond what we would ever deserve, you are that way, good and gracious to us. May you bless us individually as your children to maintain a life of service to you and to others. And may you bless our Growing Grace initiative to make this property and these buildings what you want them to be, so we can continue to win people to Christ. Bless our response now to you as you would have us to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
couple words here, announcement for you. Don't forget, obviously, during the week, small groups going on. Some of those groups are just booming, and I won't tell you which ones. You got to come figure that out, right? So come on out, be a part of a small group. They're listed. I think they're in your bulletin there. You can follow or check with us. Again, always we say, hey, if you're a guest today, come see one of the pastors. We'd love to welcome you. Also, what Kevin mentioned, Operation Christmas Child. Don't forget to get those boxes down through there. I think we also have some photos from last week at Baptism at the Beach. We want to say thank you to all the folks who helped out. There are some of the ones. It was one of the biggest waves I think we've ever done baptism in, right? Kevin, what do you think? We had our lifeguard there with us. Kaylee was with us. So seven folks got baptized. I don't know what I was doing in that photo. But yeah, let's switch that one, Joe. Switch that one out. Thank you. Recovering, that was. James Island Outreach coming up as well. I know we have a couple of big events coming up in November as well, and we have a little presentation, I think, that's going to happen here. And Lori, I guess you're going to turn. Oh, Sandy. All right. Sandy, go ahead. Go ahead, Sandy. Stand up where you are and just tell us what's happening.
Okay. John's working on
I got a Honda Civic. It's got 344,000 miles. Got. You don't want that? No. Well, I got some. I may have some Bubba Watson autographed items. Yes.
Bubba Watson autographed. I think that's great. I have a beautiful lake house on Lake Marion, and I'd like to donate that for a week. So just come on out, put your bids on it. We have other things like stainless glasses. We have, let's see what else we've got.
Where's your house, Sam? I'm going to.
Just give them out to people that I don't know, just to get them here on the church grounds, and they can meet some of our wonderful people. But I think that's just about everything I have. You can see me, you can see Queenie, you can see. Oh, and wait a minute. Janine, where are you? Oh, she's doing the silent auction, so you can go to Janine too if you have any items. Okay?
Hey, give Sandy a hand for sharing that word.
And I'm going to interject real quickly here for one more thing. Today is a very important day, so I know we're running long, but we're going to take just a minute here. Today is Pastor Appreciation Day, so on behalf of Grace Point, we'd like to do something to show appreciation to our pastors. If you all three would come up here, Kevin, John, Jason. I know you guys appreciate these guys. I can tell you just on a very brief personal note, how much I appreciate these guys. 11 years ago, I walked into Crossroads Community Church, and some of you guys go back to that church pre-COVID when we met over at the high school. But 11 years ago, I walked in. One of the people that Kevin just preached about, one of those lost people, was broken, struggling, and they met me where I was. You talk about a church that has the right name now, Grace Point. These guys have been models of grace in my life, and I know in lives of others as well. They really have. And, you know, they showed me so much grace, taught me about what God's love is, that God loved me. And it was at a time where I didn't think I was worthy of love. And they showed me God's grace, even grace with discipline at times. As I got involved with the music and even a little bit of grace with discipline, because it doesn't matter what you have done, but it does matter what you do. And these guys have taught me so much over the years. And over the years, they're not only my pastors now, these are my friends. And I encourage each one of you, if you haven't spoken to them much, I encourage you to get to know them. They're wonderful guys. If you've spoken to any of them, I'm sure you've spoken to John. But I do encourage you to get to know these guys. They are wonderful models of grace, like I said, and the continuing of showing God's love. So the church has, behind the scenes, gathered a little bit of a collection to show you guys appreciation, to bless you guys, because you guys bless this church and our congregation so much. John, thank you for you know, all that John does for our youth, and for making everybody feel welcome. I mean, absolutely the one who makes everybody feel welcome. Jason, you know, thank you so much for bringing worship and music to our church. He does so much to make that happen. And I can't tell you how much I've learned about both music and worship through him over the years. And Kevin, you know, thank you so much for your leadership and for your constant message of the gospel of Christ, of his salvation, and letting me know and so many others know that God loves us. Thank you, Kevin.
Wow. Well, I think we got a whole month's worth of announcements in there, Kevin. That was good. So, all right, folks, would you like to sing one more? Let's do a rocking song.
All right, let's stand up.
Ah, it's fun. That's fun. Well, let us pray. Take that excitement with you. There's lots of folks you can check in with. Say hi if you're a guest with us today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all the excitement here in our church. We know that many exciting things coming up right now. We pray that we will continue to grow in grace, grow in your love, the joy that we feel here. Help us to share that everywhere we go. We thank you, Lord. We love you, and we praise you now. Nothing can separate us from your love. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen.